Man. Good morning, y'all. Is that all the excited you guys are? Good morning, y'all.
Good morning.
There we go. So I had a lot of fun yesterday on Patrick's motorcycle run, Bikers for Grub. They raised money for the local food bank. How much did you end up raising yesterday, Patrick? A little over $3,500 times 10. That's a whole lot of food, a whole lot of pounds of food, right? Is that 35,000 pounds of food raised for the local food bank. So that's pretty cool. And a whole bunch of cans and stuff. I have proof that I went on the motorcycle ride yesterday. My hands are extremely red. I wore my jacket down to my wrist, but my hands, I was sitting there last night and I accidentally touched one of my hands and went, ooh. And then Ariel was there this morning and she started putting her hand there and she's like, Daddy, that is hot. A lot hotter than the rest of your skin. I was like, yeah, that's like something going on there healing that up. So I'm in a little bit of pain, but I had a lot of fun yesterday. We went on a long motorcycle run for about, 4 hours or something. We were out there. We stopped at a few places, so it was a lot of fun. I had a really good time. So this week we are continuing our Fruit of the Spirit series. We're going to be looking at Galatians 5, so you guys can turn to your Bibles to Galatians 5 as we look at our discussion. But I want to remind you guys why it is that we're even looking at the Fruit of the Spirit. When we started this year, going into this year, we decided that we were going to try and be more devoted to God in 2016. And if we're going to be more devoted to God in 2016 or 2017 or any time, we're going to start producing fruits of the Spirit, is what Paul calls the traits that the followers of Christ should exhibit in their lives. So we started doing a few things. We're reading the Bible together chronologically. Even if you are behind, feel free to download that thing online, catch up to where we're at, or just kind of start on today or tomorrow or whatever and try to jump back in there. And then we have Bible games each month. So today we're having our Bible game on the first Sunday instead of the last Sunday because last week we were unable to do that. And I'm looking forward to that. Just so that you guys know, there's no trivia or anything like that. It's just a lot of fun. We get to learn some cool stories. And Amber's not in here for me to ask the reading, what the stories are in. But I know that I'm reading in like Chronicles now. And we've done Samuel and stuff like that. So it's going to be some really, really good stories. So I'm looking forward to that today. So we have already gone over a few of the fruits of the Spirit. Today we are going to be looking at kindness. Kindness. So let's look at Galatians 5, 22 and 23. I should have turned to my Bible in there. So these are what the Apostle Paul calls the fruits of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and against such things there is no law. So once again, he's reiterating that all these things are good things, and there's no law against any of these great things that are fruits of the Spirit that we produce in our lives whenever we follow Christ. So it's all good stuff. He lists the bad stuff up a little bit above that, or behind that, are the things that we would chase if we were chasing the world. So now what I want to... I'm trying not to lose my place here. Okay, so whenever I'm looking at this, I start looking like, okay, kindness and goodness are like really close together, and they're one right after the other inside of here, but we're going to break those apart because they are actually different. In the Greek text, they even meant different things, and we're going to look at that a little bit later on this morning. But I want to know, like, what is the difference? So what's the difference between kindness and goodness? And today we're going to look at kindness. Next week, we'll look at goodness. But whenever you think about this, is like, whenever a dog behaves, what do we say to the dog?
Good boy.
Good dog, good boy, good dog. The dog didn't do anything kind, right? But it did do something that was good and didn't do something that was bad. So we would say good dog. Jesus isn't going to say good dog to us. That's not what I'm trying to say here this morning. But that shows what's good versus kind. And kindness is whenever you do something that's like above and beyond and something that is nice. And goodness is whenever you do what's right instead of doing something that's wrong. And I've also heard it described in this way, is that kindness is an attitude and goodness is a lifestyle. Seeing the difference there? So goodness is a character and kindness is actually the action. So I want to look at a story of kindness, but before I look at this one, I want to tell you guys a story that I thought of that I think can relate us and help us to understand kindness a little bit better. It's a story that includes unkindness and also kindness in my life. a long, long, long time ago, whenever I was but a teenager. Okay, it was about 20 years ago. I have told you guys before that I didn't grow up with much. So I had this 1992 Pontiac Le Mans, and Kelly probably remembers my little blue car. One time, and I hope he's not one of the ones that did this, but one time my little blue car that was kind of a, it wasn't a great car, it was a clunker. I'm driving back from Granbury, and bear in mind I never once bought a brand new tire until I bought my brand new truck. And then I would buy new tires for that, like one or two at a time. So I bought the new tires for that, but this Pontiac Le Mans, I would always go to Ratliff. How many of you guys have ever bought Ratliff used tires? Yes, we all have. So I'd go out there and I'd buy a used tire. It would last for 6 months or 8 months. I'd have a blowout on the highway, and then I would take the tire and get it fixed. Well, one time on the way back from Granbury, or on the way to Granbury, I couldn't remember which part that was, I had a blowout, and it was just in between here and Granbury. There's that little rest stop, right? Right there near Ratliff. It's not too far away. I'm just past that, and I have a blowout. So I'm about 2 miles or so from Ratliff, not too far away. I get out of my car, I take off said tire that was blown out, and a whole bunch of pieces with wires sticking out and stuff, and I begin to lug tire to Ratliff Tires, walking down the side of the road like this as a teenager. Y'all, I didn't have like black hair and black painted fingernails or anything that would make me look like weird to anybody, yet no one stopped to pick me up. Friends would go by and honk their horn and wave at me, lugging a tire down the road. Yeah, and Kelly may have been one of them too back there. There were people. There was somebody. They went by in a truck and honked at me, waved. And then there's a guy in the back of the truck waving at me from behind, lugging the tire. I walked all the way to Ratliff Tires, all the way down the road, up the other road, down their driveway that I think is 4 miles, get my tire fixed. And then there was someone there. I can't remember if there was someone there that actually gave me the ride, or if I called Priscilla and she sent Patrick or Micah that day. But somebody came and they took me in my car, or in their car, down there to my tire that I could put a tire on there, and I no longer had to work. They didn't have cell phones back then. Well, they had them, but they were the size of your car. My car couldn't hold one. It didn't have the horsepower. So there was the act of unkindness of the people just driving by and waving, "Hey, James, that looks heavy." And then there was the act of kindness on the other side, where Priscilla sent someone to come and help me out so that I didn't have to walk that 2 miles back over to my car to put the tire on there. So we can see kindness in action there, of someone, you know, seeing that there's a need and they're fulfilling that need and showing kindness. But I want to look at the Bible, because that's where we should really get our knowledge from. And I want to look at Luke 10. If you guys would, you can turn to Luke 10, or it's going to come up on the screens here in just a second. And this is the parable of the Good Samaritan. To kind of explain this a little bit, Jesus is talking to a lawyer here. The lawyer is trying to trap Jesus in a way. And the way that Jesus explained things a lot of time was in these stories that we call parables. And that was because he's trying to explain things from the kingdom of God in a way that we can understand them as human beings. So he would tell these stories and things that we could relate to. And this is the story of where he's talking to this lawyer. And we're going to start in verse 25. Chapter 10, verse 25. "And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to them, 'What is written in the law?'" This is Jesus. "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" "And the lawyer answered, 'You should love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And then Jesus said back to him, 'You have answered correctly. Do this and you'll live.'" That same thing right there applies to every one of us, right? If we just do that, then we're going to live. If we love God, we're going to live, and that's all we need to do. But how many of you guys in here have done exactly that? Oh, just Trey. So there's one person. Usually there's zero. There's one person that has loved the Lord, obeyed all the commands, and did what was right. Do you want to take it back? No, you don't want to take it back. He's going to live. I'm going back over here. But he, desiring to justify himself, this is a lawyer talking again, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Is it the guy over on my right? Is the guy over on my left? Is it the house across the street from me? Who is this neighbor? And Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. So this was a Jewish guy. And he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Like as if he was carrying a tire, right? Like they're passing on the other side of the road over there, ignoring him. Yeah, they may have waved at him. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by the other side. So the other guy passed by the side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal, a donkey, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you whenever I come back. Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? Jesus asked. And the man answered, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. So, whenever I look at that story right there, I definitely see kindness. Am I the only one that sees kindness in that story? Please tell me I'm not alone. We see the kindness of the Samaritan guy, and we have to bear in mind that the Samaritans were almost considered not even real people. They were mixed breed of Jews with another nation, so they weren't really accepted or well liked. So for the Samaritan guy to do something good or something kind to this Jewish guy that's been beaten and robbed, he's getting his point across that we need to be kind to our neighbors. We need to see needs, and we need to fulfill those needs with people. So our lives should be characterized by kindness. We are called to be kind. In fact, in Colossians, I've been putting in there Colossians 3:12, it actually says to clothe ourselves in kindness. Right? We're supposed to wear kindness around with us all the time, be looking for needs out there of other people, not being selfish for ourselves, but be looking for needs and taking care of people out there and fulfilling those needs. Now, can we all agree here that Jesus is love? You can just nod, that's fine. Everybody's nodding for the recording. So everybody's nodding yes. So whenever we think about Jesus being the embodiment, the epitome of love, this is some good stuff. Like what is love? Somebody can just call out, love is patient, love is kind. So love in itself, and we're commanded to love God, we're commanded to love our neighbor. So kindness is part of love, right? Am I understanding this right? I want to make sure that I'm understanding everything. So if we have love for other people, no matter who they are, we're going to be kind to them. And our love shouldn't have limits as to how far we can go to love someone. We should try to like out-love people, but we should definitely love our family, we should love our friends, and we should even love people that oppose us, people that are our enemies and that are against us. We should love them. So whenever I start digging into this and I'm trying to understand this a little bit better, I start wondering what it is, the Greek word. What's the Greek word? In the original language that this was written, what is the Greek word and what did it actually mean? Because sometimes the modern translations don't quite catch what it is. They don't have enough words to describe it accurately. So I look at this, and it's not because I'm some Greek scholar or trying to show off or anything, because I literally look this up, and I know very little Greek, but I'm loving to learn. So the Greek word for kindness is Christotes. Christotes. And it means benignity, tender concern, and uprightness. It's kindness of heart and kindness of action. So it's not just seeing a need out there and seeing that someone is needing something in a way to love them, but it's actually going and doing that thing that's going to show kindness to the people there. So it seems like whenever kindness is at work in a person's life, then he or she's going to look for ways to adapt themselves to meet the needs of other people. It's the moral goodness that overflows, and it's the absence of any type of malice. So we're not looking at anyone maliciously. We're seeing people the way that Jesus sees them. We want to be kind to them. We want to love them. We want to fulfill their needs in any way that we're able to. And another form of kindness is being considerate to other people, considering how you're actions are going to affect someone else or showing consideration for a person's needs or preferences. Kindness, although we've seen like all these different examples, it focuses more on the other person and not really on our own needs. And I think of like if you have you're running late for a meeting, you're running late to do something, and you see someone broke down on the side of the road, and you can see that they're in need of some kind of help, an act of love, an act of kindness would be to pull over and ask at least if you can call someone for them or to help them with their problem if you're able to, and maybe be a little bit late to your meeting that's really important. So there's, what's that? Wave your horn and say, hey, good luck out there with that tire that weighs 50 pounds. And you guys have to bear in mind, too, whenever I was like 18, 19, 20, whenever this took place, I was not the Arnold Schwarzenegger-looking guy that's before you today, right? Like I was 6'2", and I weighed 140 pounds back then. So I'm this scrawny little dude about the size of this right here, walking down the road. Picture a tire next to that. Somebody should have stopped and helped me. I'm going to stop on that. So, huh? Yeah, I needed to work out. I needed to stop working. I worked at the expo center and I worked hard. Now I sit at a desk all day long. That's how you build up this form of strength. So, you guys have lost track. Thank you. So, we need to be thinking of other people, and we have to like ask ourselves, is it my goal to serve other people, or am I too focused on my own needs, my own desires, and my own problems to let the goodness of God overflow into other people? So when we think about that question, is it my goal to serve others with kindness, or am I too focused on my own needs, desires, or problems to let the goodness of God overflow to others? Selfishness is going to choke out our kindness. But kindness kills selfishness. And when we practice showing kindness to others, we can learn to be less selfish, and we can retrain ourselves to think of ourselves less and think of other people more. And it's definitely a good thing. If you are having issues with someone, it helps so much to pour out kindness to them. Randy used to talk about that a little bit, that if you pour kindness out on someone, there's like, it's almost going to irritate them because you're being so nice to them in spite of everything they're doing to you. But it also always points upward when they're like, I don't see how I can do all this stuff to you and you still keep being kind to me. You're like, I've only got one way, man. It's his strength. This is not mine. I want to be mean to you right back. But he, inside of me, makes me want to be kind to you and to love you the way that he would, because I want you to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's why we have to produce these fruits of the Spirit. As I was going to talk about a little fun fact, the Greek for kindness. In Galatians 5:22, it's related to the Greek word for choice aged wine. I know we got some people in here that like wine. I'm not looking at you, Shanice. I'm not looking at you. So I know we got some people. So the Greek word is for choice aged wine. And as a good wine gets sweeter with time, so the Holy Spirit makes us softer, warmer, and kinder. Right now, I'm not a wine drinker, but I understand that the older that a wine is, the sweeter and better tasting that it can be. Is that an accurate statement for those of you that like wine? We're not a Baptist church. It's okay. You guys can say that you like wine. Come on. I'm kidding. So we know that we need to be kinder to people, right? We need to show love to others by being kind, but how is it that we learn to do that, right? How do we become this kind person that Jesus wants us to be? Because it can be so difficult sometimes. And we have to draw our kindness from the one who is the epitome of kindness, the one that is the epitome of love. He encompasses all of that. That's the only place that we can get it. We have to draw closer to Jesus in order to see people the way that he sees them, to share the love that Jesus has with these people. We can, I'm trying to think of how I can how I can make this make a little bit better sense. We're supposed to live our lives imitating Jesus Christ, right? He came here to earth. He lived this perfect life that we can't live, but we are still to try and live exactly how he lived, to imitate him in every way, to imitate his love towards other people. We need to see people that we like, that we don't like, everybody, the way that Jesus sees them. And let me see here. I don't think I talk about this in here, but I'm about to talk about it anyway. So, something that I think of in showing kindness in the way that we can sometimes be another example is like on every Sunday afternoon all across at least the United States and maybe even in some other countries, after church on Sundays, a lot of folks go out and they have a Sunday afternoon lunch, right? So I've heard, Amber was a waitress for a while, years and years back, and I've heard and I've seen online all these different waiters and waitresses, and they talk about the Sunday crowd. Because people get out of church, and then they come to these restaurants where there is a waiter or a waitress who is working for $2.75 or $2.25 an hour or something like that, and they literally live off their tips. Now, if we're not looking at these people like they're people and like Jesus would see them, we don't know what's going on in their lives, right? He does. We don't know if that morning they got a phone call that something had happened or there's something going on with their kids or sick and they want to be at home. There could be a variety of different reasons that this person isn't having a great day and that they may be behind on their service to us, but we want to look at them and say, you need to do your job. You need to earn that $2.25 an hour. And then we're not being very kind to these waiters and waitresses out there. And that's something that happens all around. But we just, and it's not just them. Anywhere that we look, anywhere that we feel mistreated, we don't know what's happening in that person's life. They may be having problems at home. They may be having problems at work. They could be having anything going on in their life. And we don't know, but yet we don't really care about that because sometimes we're kind of selfish and we want things our way, and that's their job. They need to do their job that's focused on me and what I want instead of, you know, taking care of those people. Amber and I are in disagreement on that. I always tip, and Amber sometimes doesn't if the service isn't all that great. And I tip because I don't know what made them do a bad job. But I know that they work for $2.25 an hour and that they live off the tips. And if they brought me my drink, at least, and my food, and they took care of me a little bit, then they don't have to come keep my cup full and all that kind of stuff. So I always try to tip. So being kind to other people is it not mattering who they are, what they're doing. It's they're living their life in their way, and we need to see if we can fulfill a need. Maybe we need to smile at that person and say, hey, you look like you're having a bad day. Is there anything I can pray for you for? Instead of getting mad, that may completely change the dynamic of the day whenever you do something like that. So we need to put others first and be considerate of other people's needs, and we need to show genuine concern for other people. Don't try to fake that and exhibit kindness towards other people. And we need to look for needs like the Samaritan did when he saw the guy on the side of the road over there beaten up and robbed, and he took care of him. And he even went a step further. He loaded the guy onto his donkey, carried him into town, put him up at an inn, and then gave the innkeeper more money and said, hey, take care of this guy, and if you spend more than what I'm giving you, then I'm going to come back and pay you all of that back also. So he saw a need and he fulfilled it, and we should be looking for those things in our lives, whether it be at our homes, at our offices, at our jobs, whatever the case may be. Look for needs to fulfill with people and do it because you have kindness. So the other thing we have to do, we have to draw closer to Jesus, and I talk about every week. Man, I can't tell you how important it is to stay in God's Word. Read a little bit every day. A thing that I did to help me, because I'm not a reader, y'all. I read every day in the Bible, but I didn't used to because I didn't have time. Like, that's my reason. I didn't have time. So what I did is on my phone, which I don't have, I have a Bible app, and on my home screen, like every time I open up my phone, there's a scripture up at the top of my phone, and I can at least read one scripture every day, and think about that one scripture. So do something to pour God's word into you. It's much better if you can dig in and just read and learn and grow. This is how we find out more about what God is about, how much he loves us, how much he wants to be in a relationship with us. This is where we learn about that. So it's so important. And then to pray, spend that time with God that you have. He gives us 24 hours a day, and we can spend some time with him to just get on your knees, if that's what you need to do, and talk to God. Tell him what you learned in the scripture from him that day. Ask for more insight. Ask him to show you ways to be kinder, to put you in situations where you get the opportunity to learn and grow through your kindness. You have to spend time in his word. You have to spend time in prayer to get to know God, and then he's going to fill you with this kindness, with this patience, with this love, with all of the fruits of the Spirit. That's coming out of us. I'm going to ask a question. Hopefully you guys, it'll make sense, or you guys will have an answer for me. So we've all seen needs that we put above, or put our own selfish desires above, right? Anybody? All right, so everybody's been in those situations, including me. Not Trey, but he's not here anymore. Harry told us that. But we have to begin to put kindness into practice so that we can change, that whenever we see a need out there, that we're willing to go and take care of that need and take care of people. The more that we love people, the more that people are going to see and want to know Jesus, to know what is in us that gives us the strength to be kind, to love so much, to do the things that we do because we love God, because we love Jesus. That I just want to pray this morning over us. Get Patrick to put on some instrumental music, and I'm just going to start us off. Give you guys some time to pray. Ask God to give you situations that will teach you kindness, so that you can learn from that, so that we can learn how to be kind to other people, to fill us up, to grow us closer to Him. Unless we are close to Him, this stuff doesn't just happen. We can't force this kindness and love that's going to be coming out of us. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for today. I thank you for Cornerstone Church. God, I thank you for every single person that is present here today. I thank you for the Cornerstone folks that couldn't make it here today. I would just ask that you be with them and give them their needs today, God. God, this morning we're learning what it's like, what kindness is from your view. And we ask that you would teach us how to be kind to other people, for your spirit that indwells us to just overflow with kindness towards other people, no matter who they are, no matter where they're at, no matter what they've done. God, help us to be kind, to not look at things selfishly, but look at things the way that you did. God, we know that you're not selfish because of what you've done. You gave literally everything for us. God, I can't even imagine what it took to go through what you did, that your love is so great that you let people beat you, let people spit on you, made you carry a cross down a road, and then put you up on it, and you'd done nothing wrong but speak the truth, but they were so blind that they didn't want to see that. We don't want to be blind. We want to have our eyes wide open to the truth that is you. Jesus, you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. The only way that we're going to make changes in our lives is if you help us. So we ask you to help us, teach us, show us the right way. Help us to make the time to read in your word and get to know you better. Help us to draw closer to you. God, give us boldness in this world that is such a mess right now. Help us to be bold. Help us to be courageous in sharing the good news of reconciliation with the Father. As we go into this time here in a little bit of baptisms, I would just ask that you would show us something awesome through this, that we would all learn something awesome through this. As we spend time together this afternoon in fellowship, I just ask that you would bless the time, bless the food, bless us. God, as we play the Bible games after that, I just ask that you would be with us throughout the Bible games and help us to learn more about you and keep our lives always headed in a direction that is always focused on you and what you want for us. You are the way. God, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.